the guy who drives it through.
Hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again, and Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic!
I remember it to this day. It was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though. Still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously, being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection! And it goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park! Twisting! Shouting! Shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Today, myself, Jane Buster, I'm joined by Martin Venables, who appears to be sleeping in the corner of the room. Welcome along, Marty. He's now sleeping. Well, we recorded in the back of a very impressive 2-0 win against Partick Thistle yesterday, and Jay, I suppose it's a marked improvement from... We seem to be so up and down this season though as well, don't we? We had a great result against Ross County, then a disappointment against Dundee, and then followed up with a good victory in the back of the international break against Thistle yesterday.
Aye, it was good. I think all over the park, everybody... You know, performed well, the two. I know when we were heading in, we noticed that both McLean and Ferguson were playing. And I thought both of them slotted in well. Cadden looked impressive again. I was impressed with Tate again. I thought Tate looked good. Moult obviously getting in the score sheet and a great assist for McDonald's goal. So all over the park, I thought we looked good. But, you know, you don't want to get too ahead of yourself, because as you said, there have been games this season where we've looked good, everyone's kind of clicked, and we've got full of optimism, and then we've went on to, you know, two or three games have been absolutely terrible. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how we build on it, because we've now got some really difficult games with the likes of Hearts and Celtic. But yeah, it was the kind of game that could have been difficult if we'd lost it, or even a point from it. It would have put us in probably a wee bit of a shaky position getting into those difficult games, so we can now get into them with a bit of momentum and a bit of confidence.
McLean didn't play yesterday,
but
I
didn't start.
Did I say
McLean? McMillan, you
meant. Oh, McMillan, I meant McMillan.
I thought you did.
There's Marty. That's
Marty. There's Marty woken up, but Buster, I think we looked at the team sheet before the game yesterday and we had some kind of strange decisions, but I suppose Martin McGee was vindicated in his team selection, given that we won, and we won comfortably as well against a team that perhaps could be a rival in terms of the relegation battle towards the end of the season. I don't want to say we're in a dogfight, but the way the results have been, and we are at the moment, I suppose.
Yeah, as you say, it was changed up. It was either like a 3-5-2 or a 5-3-2, and it, you know, it worked. It's one of the ones where when McGee changes it and it goes wrong, there's a lot of people on his back. He changed it yesterday, it went right for him, so it was fair play. And as you say, there was a couple of people slotted in, done really well. McDonald, Moult, Cadden, Tate, I thought were all fantastic. It was good to see that, you know, they seemed comfortable playing that way as well. And as you say, Partick Thistle are going to be, well, you know, they're the sort of team that we'd be battling with for position, whether it be, you know, for 7th or 8th or 9th or 10th, they're going to be in and about us, so it was good to get a win against them, especially at home.
And I think that there's a danger of the podcast becoming a bit of Chrissy Cadden loving, but another performance, this guy's absolutely fantastic, isn't he?
Aye, he's magic. He's just everything about him. He's got everything. We say it all the time, but even just, I think now that cup, the cup final, the youth team cup final, it was obvious, everybody remarked about how you know, athletic. He looked like
he head and shoulders above the rest.
But he actually, if you actually watch him now, he's starting to, you know, I think he stands out from a lot of the actual first team players. You see him alongside, again, like guys like Louis Moult and stuff. It's not part of his game to be like quite bulked up, but Cadden's, you know, an absolute machine compared to
players. That's obviously down to Andy Bowles and the work that he's done in terms of his physique, but also you notice he's the first player and to celebrate a goal and everything else. Like, I know we've been guilty of the man love for Louis Moult, but Cadden's always the first over to congratulate a guy. Or there's actually players yesterday when we scored the second goal, ran over and congratulated Cadden for his part in it. He's just such an integral part of our squad, and I really hope that what we discussed in last week's podcast with the Rail Society, that it's not a kind of objective that we sell Cad in the next transfer window, because obviously it's going to be built up as the next best thing or the next big thing anyway. So I would really just like to retain him because he's that.
Aye, obviously good. You don't want to lose him anyway just because he is that good. But again, you know, I don't think it would benefit anybody for him to go in January. I think you look at the improvement he's done with, you know, the likes of Ballsy and you know, coming through the under-20s, and he's now, you know, starting to find his feet in the Scotland under-21s.
I think
he would benefit, and I think he's the kind of player, you know, you look at guys like Paul Slane and you know, before that, you know, even Pearson and guys like that. I think you would like to think that Cadden does seem to be a wee bit more screwed on, does seem to be a wee bit more, you know, intelligent in terms of his own career, and you know, you just have to look at the effort he must put in. He must put in so much effort to, you know, have that athleticism and stuff. So you'd like to think that he would know that it probably wouldn't benefit him to go in January.
Well, he's did they not recently just sign an extension?
Well, you would have to assume as well that his own man, being an ex-pro, played with Motherwell. He kind of knows the game. His brother plays with. Does he play with Livingston just now? Nicky. So you would kind of like to think that he would be advising him well, whereas in the past maybe some of the guys, don't want to kind of name names, but more well, Little Yerwin seemed desperate to get out of our park. Ben Hall perhaps was quite keen to move on.
Guys who were like essentially a flash in the pan, and that they were, you know, they played a couple of months, looked good, and then
it's a bit like Cadden the New, for example. He came in about Christmas. Same with the other guys, they all come in about Christmas, whatever. I think Lee Irwin had a wee bit, maybe a season in him, but you know, he's come in at Christmas here, he's done really well. He signed an extension on his contract. If we get another year of him and then sell him on, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah, and I suppose the big element of that is as well that you look at guys like Hall, you look at guys like Irwin, they could have perhaps furthered their career better by waiting an extra Irwin, season. Because Cadden, this is his first full season.
The way Irwin's career kind of went prior to his move, I'm less likely to be too, you know, I can understand. What was he, 21 when he left Motherwell? And it was after, you know, a good couple of years of injuries and things not going particularly well. You did. So, and, you know, injuries, that kind of thing. So you could maybe argue that by the time a move came for Irwin, he was thinking, right, I kind of need to go now because, you know, once you get to 22, 23, you maybe start to drop off the radar because you're no longer that kind of young prospect. So I can kind of understand that. But Ben Hall's a good example. You know, Ben Hall came from nowhere. None of us really expected Ben Hall to be in the team. Suddenly he got a game.
Ben Hall.
did well for a couple of months. And I don't watch any English football, but I'm assuming he's nowhere near.
I think that's the thing, though.
I think Cadden strikes me as a player who, if he does move, people kind of say, oh, it's ambitious, and, you know, he'd maybe go down to what, championship level and stuff. But I don't think there's a great, it's not being ambitious and not having belief that you decide to stay at a team like Motherwell. There's probably more ambition to actually want to stay and develop yourself, so you can then go down in like a year or two and go straight into the first team.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the fact of the matter as well, that it's his first full season. You rewind to, in fact, it was a year ago today, that he played at Ross County and he looked miles off the pace. He looked out his depth, and think of the progress he's made in a year. But this is his first full season as a professional footballer playing in the first team. So, and you look at the progress he's made in that short space of time. So,
and it's not just that. Obviously, we're biased because he's a Motherwell player, but even just for a Scottish football point of view, he's a guy. There you go, under 21s, and the Scottish national team, we all know that it's not exactly the best at the moment, and there isn't really that progression for the under-21s. You go and watch the Scotland under-21s and there's not you look at England. Now England, I don't think are, you know, the world-class team that they think they are, but they've got like a steady stream of young guys who play for the under-21s and then step up. It doesn't tend to happen to us. We've got like a wall that kind of happens when you get to under, because a lot of our first team players would be like England under-21s and things like that anyway. Yeah. But Cadden's the kind of player that if he does continue on the upward trajectory he's on, continues to do what he's doing in terms of out with training, his physique and things like that, then I think if he did, if his career keeps going the way it is there anything to say that he couldn't be, the player that establishes himself in the under-21s and then makes that step up? And I think if he goes to, if he was to leave in January and go to some random English championship club and play for their reserves, then year or two you start to think, remember Cadden?
There's probably an argument actually to be had for guys that have left. I'm thinking guys like Scott Arfield and stuff like that have moved down to the championship level and then they've went off the radar of the national side.
Almost, but that's not the fault of the national side. Scott Arfield should have been capped for a while ago.
He's Canadian, though,
aye, but
he's still Scottish.
So he now speaks with a Canadian accent.
There's guys that kind of fall off the radar of the national side when they move down south, whereas I honestly think that if you saw Gordon Strachan put a team out for the Slovenia game in March, if Cadden continues the progress he's making just now, it wouldn't be the most ridiculous thing ever to see him in the squad of 23. No. I know it's unlikely, but no, at the same time...
You look at some... he's said in the past, he gets... what's his face? Mackay at Rangers. I think Matt Strachan said that he doesn't see him as, a first-choice player or that, but he likes to have guys like that, and he does well in training, and it's good to guys like that.
Embed them into the squad.
Let's be completely honest. If Cadden was at Celtic or Rangers, he probably would have been in a squad by now. We all know that. Yeah. If Cadden was Mackay, then, he would be in that role. But it's certainly not out with the realms of possibility, particularly because you've got somebody like Mark McGee involved. I know that we say that he shouldn't. That's tend to agree. I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, the idea that he should be one or the other, because you do have that issue where if you get horsed before an international weekend and then your manager swans off for 5 days with international team, I don't particularly like it. However, it can have its positives, and a positive could be you would like to think that McGee, when he's sitting talking with Strachan, will be saying, well, look, I've got the likes of Cadden who, He's not going to get in a Scotland international cap anytime soon. But if you're going to start to look at bringing through the younger guys, particularly if Strachan's going to stay and he's going to start to look at what he's doing long term, perhaps even the next campaign, then you should be looking at guys like Cadden and a couple of the younger guys and saying, right, we'll take them back up. They're talking about a friendly now. They're going to organise a friendly in March, I think. Why not have a guy like Cadden in there, even if he doesn't get any game time? Get him involved in the squad, the experience of it, being around guys that...
Kind of what he did with the guy, like Reynolds. I think Reynolds has been involved in quite a lot of squads, but hasn't ever... he's maybe had one or two caps.
Well, that's the point of the squad, isn't it? Yeah. You have the squad and then you pick your team. But, just because you're not getting a cap, the things that go with it, the week or 5 days of training, and depending on who's in the squad, you could be sending Chrissy Cadden to go and spend 3 days training with the likes of Darren Fletcher, which... is going to be valuable and things like that. So I don't think we're a million miles off. At the end of the day, we're a top flight club, and if one of our young Scottish players is playing really, really well and is integral as he is to our team, then there's no reason why he shouldn't be chapping the door to the national team, because the national team at the moment isn't good enough anyway. So it's guys like that that we should be looking to bring in.
It's a good point, and I'll bring you back in, Buster, in terms of Mark McGee, and he obviously didn't have his troubles to seek in the last week with another disappointing result for Scotland. There was the farcical almost scenario where Gordon Strachan didn't have to attend a meeting where his fate was decided. So as a result, Mark McGee stays on as Gordon Strachan's assistant. Is that too much of a distraction? I don't know whether... I've not looked at our results following international breaks very closely, but I do agree with Jay in the sense it should be one or the other.
I tend to agree with that as well, but I think that never mind when it comes back. It's, for example, when we were completely spineless against Dundee, you'd like to think that he would be at the club that week running the players into the ground. It's a sort of punishment for being so shite against Dundee, But obviously, as you say, you know, he's got other duties. He's paid by somebody else to go and do something else. So I mean, again, it might be the case that the players do, you know, train harder, train more that week or whatever. But the way that the fans see it, basically, you know, McGee's away to do his other job. The players are, you know, in and out. You know, I've no doubt that they obviously go at their training, they work hard at their training, but you'd like to think that, you know, the manager would be there to say, you know, it was a poor performance, we had to work a bit harder in training. But when we come back from the international break and we put in a good performance like we did there and we win quite comfortably, it sort of negates any arguments,
so to speak, I suppose. But that's the kind of thing for me. I don't really believe that a top flight club, as you've already alluded to there, we are a top flight club, we're established top flight club as well, should we really be allowing our manager? We did it with Stuart McCall as well, and towards the end of McCall's tenure, it seemed like his mind was elsewhere, the performances dipped as a result. Do we wait until the point we're in the shit, for want of a better expression?
At the end of the day, you've got guys like, guys that do the media. So you've got like Scott McDonald, for example, that does a lot of the media, but it's obviously, you know,
I hate that.
I don't mind in the slightest, because, and the reason I don't mind in the slightest,
Stephen McMahon is doing Celtic TV, it's possibly the worst thing.
We're talking about guys that, you know, have their free time. What they want to do with their free time is their free time. They can do whatever they want. However,
all good when you're performing, though, but at the same time,
not at all. I don't agree. I think if you get your free time, if you want to sit in your room and watch a box set,
play the PlayStation,
or you want to earn an extra couple of quid going and doing some media when you're not got any other commitments in the club, then crack on, fire in. Mark McGee, if Mark McGee did media, and for some reason, you know, over the international break, it was announced that Mark McGee isn't going to be taking training, he's going to be nowhere near the club because he's going for 5 days to cover. You know, he's going to be in the BBC.
Why is our manager not at the club? Does any other manager in the top flight do sports scene or anything else?
No, but I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is,
I assume that is because their objective is completely on their own club.
But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is, if Mark McGee was going to do something else, if Mark McGee was stopping being a Motherwell manager for 5 days to go do media work, you'd be raging. You'd be going, "Why? What are you doing?" So I don't understand why we shouldn't apply the same feelings when he's going to wait to do the Scotland job. At the end of the day, if you're a Motherwell manager, it's essentially Monday to Saturday,
yeah,
9 till 5. If you want to say
it's not a double header as well.
Did Mark McGee take unpaid leave to go and be Scotland manager, Scotland coach for 5 days? I'd imagine not.
Did he still live in Brighton for a start?
I think the
kind of double header of that as well. When you don't have the kind of the Friday game and the Tuesday game, then he would have possibly been back at the club on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, what you do is you play the international, particularly if you're playing on the Friday or the Saturday, then you play another game on the Tuesday night. Does he have a day off on the Wednesday to recover? Well, I would imagine after Slovakia, he was off. So, first time he'd been back was Thursday. If he was, and the thing is, no disrespect to James McFadden or Stephen Craig or Keith Lasley, well, particularly Keith Lasley, he plays on the team. Keith Laz is going to pick himself if he gets a choice. These guys shouldn't be left. Our manager should be there every day that we're training, as far as
I'm saying. If he was going away for any other reason, there would be outrage. If he was going away to, you know, 5 days away to cover the Scotland game with BBC, you'd be going, "Well, what are you doing? You're meant to be Motherwell manager. Why are you out there?" So I would apply the same logic whether he's out being a coach. It's still the same. He's still not doing what he should be doing if he's Motherwell manager.
And maybe Busta as well. It's quite harmful for, in terms of the results. It must have an effect in his mindset coming back. Particularly the results for Scotland recently have been so poor. You can't come back in a very positive frame of mind. You're coming back in the back of yesterday, you'd be looking back for the 2-0 at Dundee. Then you go to Wembley, you get scudded at Wembley, and then you come back. That must be fairly harmful. And yesterday was a pivotal result for us because.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I don't think right now, for example, you can't argue that point, because we came back yesterday, we were pretty decent. I don't think there was one player on the park who probably didn't get at least 7 out of 10 yesterday. I know people have a go, myself included, at Craig Sampson. He caught everything yesterday.
To the point we were celebrating when he was there.
Usually, you know,
it was a bit of a cloudy day yesterday as well.
Usually, you know, a 20-yard shot, he'd palm it to the left, to the right, or into the striker's path. But, you know, he caught everything. He caught crosses. He done well. So I think that sort of yesterday's result negates any sort of argument you would have for that. I understand the point, and I do agree with you, but when we're coming back for international breaks like that, and we're winning 2-0, it was not that it was easy, but as well as we played, it sort of negates any point. And I think as well, the whole sort of McGee's got another job, the players do their own media things. I think it comes down to money as well. To be honest with you, you know, I think we.
I honestly don't believe that we don't pay these guys well enough. The thing is, if Stephen McManus or Scott McDonald could play at a higher level, then they would be at a higher level. The fact that we've signed them isn't a charity project. That's what gets in mad. Scott McDonald, actually, you can hear him celebrating goals. I know he's a Celtic supporter.
I couldn't care less. Scott McDonald can go do what he wants in his spare time.
I just think that's an after activity for me. I just would prefer that he did it out with.
Again, you see players that we've had, even the English players we've got the new, who watch the Man U games and are Man U fans and get pleased when Man U win. Nobody cares because it's Man U.
But publicly is a different matter for me. Like Nicky Law, I assume you're talking about.
There's plenty of them as well. They're still having guys at the club who were Man. Anytime Man U are on the Champions League telly, there's always guys at the club who would say things like, one Man U, and then there's been guys who maybe supported whoever else they were playing, and you know the English boys at the club obviously support English teams as they grew up. Nobody really cares.
Exactly, it's applying a FIBA fan's mindset to something that doesn't need it. At the end of the day, we're applying the mindset of being tribalistic and you know diving in with one of our fans. You're talking about guys. Do you think Scott McDonald, when he goes to Celtic Park, like tries less?
I'm not throwing accusations about Scott McDonald's professionalism, but I don't like it.
I don't listen to him then. Turn that off.
I'll be honest with you,
put something else on.
I do the back shift.
Scott McDonald's the one person in my mindset that you cannot accuse of unprofessionalism.
What great goal he scored yesterday.
You're also talking about someone who's like, you know, this dyed the wool Celtic fan who does Celtic TV, who scored the two goals to stop him from winning the league.
I'd also lives in Australia, so he shouldn't really be a Celtic supporter anyway. Support your local teams.
But let's be honest,
that's my biggest issue with it.
Even when it was his first period at the club, he did nothing but greet and moan every time somebody made a bid for him. I want to go to Hearts, I want to go to Dundee United, I want to go to Rangers. He eventually got his move to Celtic. But as he was greeting and moaning, he was scoring goals.
The game that always sticks in my mind is the Dunfermline game towards the end of my past season, where he absolutely ran himself into the ground. He won the game single-handedly.
If Scott McDonald wasn't that kind of petulant wee guy, then he wouldn't be half the player he is. That's exactly what made
him. It's a real occasion that we're all in the same room while we're recording this, but what a goal he scored yesterday.
I think I said to you as well that the interesting thing is it would be interesting to see what would have happened if it had been McDonald in Mulk's position. I'm not sure McDonald would have played that pass. I think McDonald's kind of instinct is to put the head down and to try and burst into the box and maybe take it.
He'd have done exactly what he'd done at the other side.
I think he would have. So exactly the way it worked with Mulk getting the ball and picking out McDonald.
His run was absolutely.
Oh, it was brilliant. It was a great.
It was a really intelligent run. He's a very intelligent footballer.
It was a really, really good goal.
To be fair, I think we're possibly. Well, even with the McGee stuff and Scott McDonald and Stephen McManus doing the television.
You're not talking
about it. We glossed over, well, basically because it was myself on Monday night, we glossed over the fact that the Dundee performance was so poor.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of these things that normally in the podcast we kind of talk about the negative performances. Marty's just woken up, by the way, guys.
It's the same with fanzines, it's the same with anything. Like, you're going to talk more about the negative aspects you don't go to the pub and debate how good you are.
That's possibly why we can't remember any of last night, but the fact is we didn't really go for the Dundee game, and that is something we need to eradicate, surely. The fact that we can be so good, like Ross County, fantastic, Hamilton Accies at home yesterday, really good. And then, well, we can just be...
I think it's the nature of it as well. It's the actual gap between the two that's quite the concerning thing. It's not very well. I mean, let's be honest. You know, we can't claim that we're going to go and win the league and be great every game. You're going to have poor games, but when we're poor, well, relegation poor, and as, that's the worrying thing.
As you just says there, last night in the pub we met Frazzle, and Frazzle was the one that phrased it. He says, "Sugar or shite, that's what you get. We're either great or we're absolutely terrible." And to be fair, there is no in between.
And that's the thing, you don't mind, nobody's claiming let's turn the shite into sugar and then we'll suddenly go the whole season unbeaten and win the league. But if you can turn the shite into not quite a shite, then you can start to pick up an odd draw here.
That's a pivotal thing, isn't it? Because we're absolutely under no illusions. We've got a squad there that can finish in the top six, no doubt about it. But at the same time, we've got a squad there that can get relegated if they don't turn up. And so often this season, we go one game
and that's
good, and three or four.
Hearts and Celtic and all that coming up.
See, the thing is, you're saying the squad, you know, the squad are... And I'm not getting at the squad here because obviously I know our squad and I actually do think they're pretty good. But see, for example, yesterday when you go through the Partick Thistle team, or if you look at Ross County or whoever else is playing, I honestly don't know half the players that are in those starting lineups. And maybe it's just me, as I've got older, I've got less interested. You know, I still watch the games, I just maybe don't pay attention to who is actually playing.
Well, you've already spoken about someone that you met in the pub yesterday that I would say is right up there with, even when I was growing up, I always knew Fraz as one of the biggest Motherwell fans I knew. And he wasn't at the game yesterday. He had something else on. But he made a conscious decision to do something else rather
that's
than going
to
the game.
That's kind of back to your chat last week, isn't it?
He told us last night, though, that you know he goes to every game, basically, but he made the conscious decision to miss this home game.
I'm not going to the Celtic game because Big Marcos is back over for Spain. So we're going to a sub-crawl. So we've organised a sub-crawl on that day as well.
My season ticket's in my jacket.
Ah, right, well, you're in your jackets and scoosh.
See, this is a problem. When you're actually listening this back, we're basically having a conversation amongst ourselves. And, Jay, I would like to actually get your opinion on the worst ever guest we've ever had in the fucking podcast, which is definitely Marty, who has slept through the first 25 minutes.
He's fucked that beer or nothing.
Yeah. We're both in our second bottles, whereas Marty hasn't even opened his. There we go. There's a bottle now. We'll move on and we'll talk about the reaction to the Welsh Society podcast last week, and it was nice to see a few people coming up to us last night and saying that they'd signed up on the back of it. A much more positive response, Jay, than stuff we've done previously with the Welsh Society. And also, it was a kind of different dynamic as well. It wasn't a case that we were asked to submit questions and everything else before it. They were much more open, much more objective, and yes, still, there's a lot of improvement needed, but there's positives there, and I suppose we need to be kind of pushing home the positives because they are the only show in town, as we've already talked about. It's so crucial that the Welsh Society succeed, and there does seem to be a lot more people working in the right direction with the Welsh Society just now.
I think they're also reaping the benefits of just the kind of natural mindset shift that will happen when it goes from being, you know, folk. Will it happen? What's going to happen? Well, they're not doing this, they're doing that. It's happened now, and it means it now gives you the opportunity to, you know, rather than talking about, well, we're never going to do it, it's not going to work, blah, 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 to now actually think, well, what can happen with fan ownership? Because as I've said before, that as much as I've been critical of the Welsh Society, fan ownership I think is a great opportunity. And one of the things that I think has always been missing throughout the last years that we've been talking about it is nobody has ever really had a conversation about the ideas, you know, the things that could have possibly, you know, a good example is, you know, like I said, the living wage. You know, why can we not have a conversation that the Welsh Society could have, you know, someone on the board who wants to champion, wants to get in there and say, you know what, in 5 years' time we want to work towards Motherwell having the living wage. Things like that, you know, it doesn't have to, we all know that we're not going to have Welsh Society members, aren't they going to have a say in who's playing and things like that, but it would be good to like start having conversations about the things that we can actually do with our ownership. But that's the thing, we've not been able to do that.
You brought forward the season tickets for the Syrians and North Lanarkshire as well, and it's the kind of positive ideas they come across as good, and the club respond and say, yes, that's a good idea, but there's nothing goes forward. And you look at the kind of Celtic's relationship with the refugees, and everything. They look fantastic, but possibly was born and bred at Motherwell Football Club, but we had the idea and we did not kick forward with it. And that is the positivity around the club and the Welsh society just now. We now need to kind of, it's there, it's positive, push on, rather than just like 2012, where it was positive, you signed up, you went into debt as a result, and then it just gets so negative in the years coming, that because there was nothing forthcoming, there was nothing positive, there was nothing.
But that's, I mean,
it's stagnated, basically.
I think the fact that fan ownership now is a thing, is a positive in itself. So then, you know, yes, we're still critical, the Welsh society still have a big, big job to do, but now they can actually start talking to folk about the opportunities and what fan ownership is, rather than just the kind of administrative process to get us there. I mean, you know, as I said, I've been a member for years. I'm probably one of the most vocal critics of them, but it comes from the fact, you know, the belief that fan ownership should be, you know, could be made a great thing.
Well, this could be on or off the record, and we'll record it. We can maybe edit it out, but is there a possibility there's a board space coming up? You've been advised to put yourself forward. I'm pretty sure you'll have.
No.
Well, you've been advised by Sparrow.
I've been advised by you. Oh, well, no, a few folk have. But if over the last 18 months, folk have kind of said, oh, you should do it. So we'll see. But as I said, the Welsh Society Board, when they were on last week, kind of said that there was 15 odd, and that will have increased. So the chances.
Well, I'm pretty sure the kind of 300 or 400 listeners to this every week would get behind you. But the
hashtag vote for Jay.
Team Dallas. Is that something that kind of, would you want to get involved in that side of it?
Oh, I mean, I've been involved. I mean, we've all been involved. I mean, that's the thing, you know, people go on about, you know, we come on the podcast and we're really critical about the Welsh Society, but, you know, you talk about the Syrian season ticket things, and obviously the work I do in a daily job, I've managed to, you know, get things going, and you know, I've met with Douglas Dickey, I met with Brian McCarthy when he was there, I've submitted emails, I've obviously had a couple of chats with Craig Hughes and things like that. So although we're coming on the podcast and we're being really critical, you know, you yourself have organised, you know, the speakers night, you're organising the quiz night, so although we are critical of the Welsh Society, we are very much involved. I mean I've never kind of considered myself not involved in the Welsh Society. It's not been obviously in an official capacity, but I've always tried to, you know, if there's an idea or there's and even being critical of the Welsh Society is being involved, because you're having an input, you're pointing out faults, you're discussing it. It would be far worse if we just didn't even talk about it. If we just actually ignored it, if we were so indifferent to the Welsh Society, it wasn't even mentioned, then you're not involved. But you're involved. If you're a Welsh Society member and you're talking about the Welsh Society, then you're involved.
But that's how the kind of, we were talking yesterday, the hospitality, which I must say was by far the best trip to the hospitality that we've had as well. There was even just simple things like the bar being stocked and everything.
That's always a bonus.
It was just, it was much better put on. The felt properly. Kind of VIP treatment, I suppose.
You
paid extra,
you wanted to be there,
because, and that's great work to everyone at the club that are responsible and do knock their pants in every day for that. But the other thing we were talking about was, I would quite like to see the podcast being a kind of events driven thing, where we maybe do an event every 2 months for the Welsh Society, whether it be a quiz night, whether it be just a more entertaining way than a Q&A or the kind of formality side of it, and that it's this should be a more exciting time than it is, I suppose. That's the Craig Hughes talked about the fact that it wasn't time for celebration, it was time to actually kind of roll up the sleeves and dig in. And it would be nice to see people getting properly enthusiastic about it and kind of wanting to be a member of the Welsh Society just now.
Well, I think that's
The worst guest in the history of the MFC podcast has now just left.
He did
the room.
Connect me with McLean.
He was involved for a wee tiny bit. But come back to the, you know, the society and things like that. As Jay quite rightly said as well, you know, I mean, I basically signed up through our discussions. You know, I was not a member, not contributing at all. You know, because I was never sure of it. You know, I knew it was the only, as you say, the only show in town. I was never sure of it. And through our discussions, as you say, they weren't always positive, but through our discussions, you know, I thought, you know what, I might as well sign up. Signed up, and as you says, even again, through us being critical of it or whatever, through us talking to different members of the Welsh Society at different times, there's always a few people who will come back to us and say, I signed up for the Welsh Society yesterday, just because, you know, you had, for example, Brian McCaffrey on way back in the day.
Which is a really nice thing as well,
yeah.
To be fair, because I think, well, we're maybe negative about the Welsh Society, we're also completely behind the Welsh Society.
Oh, I mean, the objective is
different,
mm-hmm.
From...
Well, as Jay says as well, if we weren't being negative about it,
We wouldn't be talking about it.
The fact there's a discussion about it shows there is some passion there.
Aye, exactly. You don't talk about it. I mean, we wouldn't be spending, you know, hours doing Welsh Society specials and all that if we weren't interested in it. And what I think is more interesting is the fact that if someone listens to the podcast, even if we are critical, and then they go and sign up, it shows that there is an appetite there. And it just shows that perhaps, again, don't want to be critical, but it kind of does show, it kind of confirms what we've always said about the communication side of the Welsh Society has been that poor, that when we kind of give them a platform, it works, because people are interested, people want to be involved, they just need that platform and they need to get themselves more visible and they need to get out there. And hopefully that will start to happen now, because it's now, you know, it's no longer an administrative, well, it still is an administrative process, but they're no longer a group that's just there to kind of
tick boxes. So now, automatically,
anything that happens behind the scenes, whether it's in the news or that, will involve the Welsh Society. So every time you read something about the finances at Firth Park, about, you know, even transfers, because if they're going to have a say in whether a player goes and things like that, then the Welsh Society is suddenly going to automatically have a more of a presence, because you're going to see them more in the news and things like that, and that automatically will generate a bit more excitement. And hopefully the people, I mean, we know folk, you know, like Big Matty, for example, was a perfect example. You know, he wasn't really that bothered about talking about the Welsh Society, because his opinion was just, I'm not a member, but when it comes to it, if it's a case of do or die, then I'll join.
But I think he has joined, that's such a massive point though, the fact that if the signs and the boards go up in the door saying closing soon, then That's a disaster. But the fact is, people need to be involved in the Welsh Society before that happens.
You're right. Yeah. Ideally, everybody who, again, is a fan of Motherwell, or, you know, everybody who loves Motherwell, or whatever you want to call it, ideally everybody would be involved for the off. But as you say, there is going to be a section of people who will come out of the woodwork, if you want, when, or if the worst comes to the worst, and that's when people come about it. But, you know, ideally, as you say, you would like everybody to be involved. Myself included, as I say, I didn't sign up until maybe a year and a half ago or something, but it's one of those things where people are like, do you know what, this is a hobby, basically. Going to the FITBA, supporting your club is a, you know, a part-time hobby.
But people possibly need to realise as well, to the same extent, that if you join the Welsh Society, you're not going to be making every decision involved in the club. If you're a board member, then that's a different thing. Vote you. But
I'm not decided yet.
Also, I'll just go for it.
We'll go for a joint ticket.
Actually, why don't we put forward the MFC podcast as an entity for that space on the board?
That's what we'll just say, the MFC podcast.
Marty's away again, by the way. He came back, he was whispering.
It's worth pointing out that, you know, again, we've been involved, so even, you know, it's that kind of idea. I know that they'd said last week about 15 odd folk, you know, the most folk we've had. And what the Welsh Society need to get good at is they've got an opportunity there then, that they've got 15 plus. Now, by the time, I think it's the 28th of November is when it closes. So by 28th of November, you might have 20, 25 folk. And of those 20, 25 folk, you'll have a lot of good folk. Now, if you then appoint one of them at the board, you still need to then make an effort to capture the rest of those folk. You need to try and find a way to keep those folk involved. Now, if you just go, right, there's John Bloggs, or Joe Bloggs. John Smith or Joe Bloggs.
Step away from the start.
If you just pick one of the 20 and you go, right, you're on the board. If you then just say, all right, sorry to the rest of them, then that's where the problem lies. If you're on the board, you're not on the board. But the point is, the Welsh Society itself, you can get involved, you can get ideas, you can do all that, and you need to capture those people. And too many times,
capture and captivate as well. that's the thing, like the whole CV thing. I like, to be honest, I've been nothing but impressed with Craig Hughes.
I think it's important as well, because I think since he was getting paid by the Welsh Society, you do see conversations and the likes of Steelman online. We were probably guilty of it for the start as well, thinking, you know, what's this guy earning a wage for and all that. But no, I agree. I think he does a really, really good job. And I think it's important to say that, because I think a lot of folk will see it and kind of go, well, who's this guy? Why is he earning a wage? They're rubbish and all that. And I think Craig Hughes, for someone who, you know, is there as an, he's not there as a supporter or anything like that. And yeah, he's got a lot of passion for the actual idea of fan ownership.
The podcast was recorded at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night or Monday night. Can't remember. But the fact is, he was in at his office from 9 o'clock in the morning. He doesn't need to do these sort of things, but the passion's clearly there, and the drive is there, and that is a.
Matt McGee swans off for 5 days to Scotland, because Craig Hughes is in there.
Lives in Brighton.
let's not start the kind of precarious part of it, but the fact is, if you've got people like that with a desire, I think it'll work. I certainly do think it'll work. I was really impressed with Tom Feely as well, in terms of the way he spoke. He's passionate. Don't get me wrong, I completely disregarded the whole chat about the there's been no rivals to football type thing. I
listened to that back, and I think that's maybe just a, you know, I don't know.
Particularly when he said that,
I don't want to say a generational thing, but you know, I think that's another reason why you kind of need younger folk involved in the Welsh society, because I do think there's maybe a reluctance or a denial, the fact that there is the Brayhead clan. Brayhead clan, you know, there's, you know, mate.
The fact that he doesn't know anyone doesn't make it fact. And the fact that he was actually talking about the fact that his friends, there's quite a lot of them, you'd be as well talking to a wall rather than getting them to go back to Fir Park proves that there are people that are just disengaged.
No, there's big rivals to football, particularly, you know, again, you know, we're talking about folk, you know, there's Craig. The reason we know him is because, just like the rest is, Motherwell away games and home games, and there all the time, you know, Inverness away, Ayr United away, etc, etc. Now you don't see him at the football, well, because of Brayhead clan.
But he was there yesterday, and you saw him celebrating the goals, and you saw that it still meant something.
Still there, so, but you need to capture that, you need to get him back engaged.
It's a kind of capture and also captivate type thing, because I want to see people on these nominations list, I do want to see people that actually I can relate to. That's I honestly believe the Welsh Society Board, and I know people on the Welsh Society Board, but I'm not, no disrespect to anybody on it, but I do not feel that I'm on a par with any of them in terms of understanding.
And you put yourself forward then.
Yeah.
The best person to relate to is yourself.
See, one of the things
is yourself.
I have no real interest in being part of the Welsh Society Board, but whatever. But I think, for example, yourself, Jay, and yourself, Andy, I don't know who's on these. I don't know who's what these people on the board are like. Sorry, but you two would ask questions, I think. So, you know,
my bugbear is that I think I would end up far too frustrated by
I would. Again, I don't know.
This isn't a political party broadcast, by the way. We're trying to get ourselves.
We're going to round this up, so we need to go to the pub.
I don't know what MD on the board, or I don't know what MD's like, sorry, on the board, but
just continue the conversation.
I think that I'm not suggesting that everybody on there is, you know, as yes men or would be a yes man or whatever, but you two would ask questions, and that's not a bad thing, I don't think. Challenging things
is
I think used to would.
Is there been enough?
Yes, I'm
promoting used to. Is there enough guys. Questions asked about the fact that, like, Graham Barnswell, who I've got a lot of respect for, a lot of time for his footballing opinion, he left. Brian McCafferty left. Derek Watson, who I would say that he's possibly a focal point of the younger generation in the Motherwell support. And he also stepped down from the board.
I don't know the ins and outs of that. I know it was said that, you know, he didn't have the time to commit to it and all that, but I think that was probably, as far as the Welsh Society goes, I think that was the word that was quite actually disappointed when he stepped down, because obviously got a lot of time for him anyway. We obviously know him personally and stuff, but in terms of that link between, you know,
it's great throwing the ball back as well. fantastic delivery in the body. But that's the thing. I think that kind of cut off, because I don't want to I don't want it to sound patronising, but I think quite a lot of the younger Motherwell support, they do kind of follow a leader type thing, and I think quite often Derek is.
So I'm just saying my face is beetroot, man.
I think quite often he is kind of a, his opinion is resonates with quite a lot of the younger.
I've had him on the podcast, and
basically, he's a well-spoken guy. He's an intelligent boy, and everything is.
And he's a very passionate Motherwell fan as well. He's, you know, he's one of the biggest Motherwell fans.
I think
probably know.
I think that's what's kind of lacking at times. I kind of watch and look from an outsider looking in, and by all means, Tom Feeley, I can have a conversation with him, everything else. Maureen Kirkwood, I can have a conversation with, but I don't, nothing resonates there. I don't want to, I think there's a certain, you can have the business acumen, they can have the
you're digging a hole.
I know, the hole's just getting bigger and bigger. That's far
up. You can kind of,
I know what you
mean. I think you can have the business, the marketing and everything else, but you also want someone with passion.
I think that's a bit unfair to say, because you've already, you said earlier that Tom Feeley, like, passionate Motherwell fan and things like that. I don't think, because just because they don't, you know, go about pure chanting Motherwell songs and all that. Maybe they do, it doesn't mean they're not passionate. But I do
still resonate. I don't resonate with anybody in that board.
As I said earlier, the whole thing about, you know, folk going, oh, why don't you put yourself forward to the Wales Society board and stuff, has been going on for about 18 months or so, pretty much since we started talking about it in the podcast. And all through that time, I've considered it, and one of the reasons I've not is every time they've put forward an advert about, you know, oh, put yourself forward to the Wales Society board, they ask...
Change now, no CV.
No, I don't, but they ask specifically for people with, you know, marketing experience or commercial experience. So you end
not
up
anymore,
so you end, I know, but you end up with, you know, those kind of, so you get somebody like, you know, you might have a young Motherwell fan who, you know, goes down with the boys or something, maybe late teens, early 20s, who could be very capable of being there and being on and having ideas and putting forward that. And they get an email through saying, you need marketing experience. Of course they're not going to put themselves forward. So, I know now.
Craig has spoken about that, and he says that.
So I know it's easy, we'll never know, because it's easy to look at it and go, well, there's 15 plus, you know, applications now. That's because fan ownership's reality. I wonder how many of those have actually put their application in because they're no longer being asked for, you know,
specific requirements.
They're actually just being asked to be a Motherwell fan. And I think that, you know, I'm not, it's, we'll never know the motives behind them, but maybe a few of them actually feel more comfortable putting themselves forward because they're not being asked to kind of prove themselves in some sort of marketing guru. You need people with a skill set, and you need certain folk. You can't have the Wales Society Board with nobody with marketing experience businesses.
That's what I'm saying.
But you need other ideas, and I think that's where the issue lies, because we've had too many, in the past, it's been too many of the same type of people. That's the issue.
I think
now's an opportunity. So regardless, regardless whether any of us put our name forward, when it comes to voting for, people should be voting for the people who put forward their ideas and who are different from what we've already
had. I thought we had already established that the podcast we're going through is one end.
I don't know if that's allowed.
a big thing about that as well, I actually feel like kind of retracting the whole statement. The Maureen Kirkwood, I get and I speak to them and they're passionate about those sports, but I don't...
You do realise some of these people listen to the podcast.
What you're not friends with these people.
No, completely the opposite. To be fair, Maureen
Kirkwood
put the desk pair of Ray-Bans up and everything else, and she's helpful, but I don't resonate with these people. I want... There's a board of eight.
You want a Motherwell fan, ICW fan on the board.
What I want is a gymnast.
Yeah.
You get what I'm talking about. There's got to be the marketing, the business and everything else, but at the same time, you want someone that...
It's a double-edged sword.
£300 for a season ticket, I want to resonate with someone on that board.
Those people need to put themselves forward in the first place. Now it looks as though they have, we've got like 15, 16, however many. But in the past, you know, you can only vote for who's put in front of you. So if it's the same type of vote, I think people get
disengaged that they stopped actually voting for the people that were...
I voted in the last one, but you're kind of right. I kind of just...
See, previously, as you say, they were asking for people with marketing or whatever, accounts or whatever. I'm thinking maybe they were asking for that because it was a volunteer role. So they maybe needed somebody to keep eyes on accounts, keep eyes on the marketing. Now they are the club. They're going to have people who are paid to do these things.
Mm,
so now you're maybe just looking at the everyday Joe, if you want, who then can engage with yourself, sparrer. You know, that's maybe why it was previously like that.
The thing I found a wee bit weird with the marketing thing and all that is, though, that the Welsh Society Board has the ability, I can't remember the figures, it's in there, I've read like all the terms of conditions of the constitution and all that, and I think it's something like eight members of the board and X amount, there's some sort of limit where some of them have to be voted on, but the rest can be co-opted. So you can co-opt, and the whole point about co-opting people on the board is to fill those roles. So if you've got a board and you go, we need someone with marketing experience, you can go then and just co-opt them. Don't need to be voted on. And that's what annoyed me about asking for marketing experience. If you need to fill roles, go and co-opt them. You've source got, them out and say and convince them to get involved.
Now you've got the one kind of separate entity as well, like not complete total entity. You've got a marketing manager, you've got the kind of fan engagement officer and everything else. So it seems a bit overkill to me, but fingers crossed it works out. And Ryan Murren, we've sent you a message, just reply to us and we'll get you on the podcast in the next couple of weeks. Right, we'll look at the Hearts game and then we'll quickly wrap this up because
Marty's already away.
Marty duped. He came when we told you he left, he came back, sat down again and then left again.
I mean, to be fair, I don't talk that much as you two that talk. I just host this. This is your party. Right, Hearts next week at Tynecastle, what a really tough ask, Jay. They're a team that we've found very difficult to beat at Tynecastle since their return to the top flight football. A 2-0 defeat, sorry, and then a 6-1 defeat or 6-0. It was a hammer, regardless. We were back in the pub for about 3:10.
It's a minute, must be £24. £24 lasted 24 minutes,
sorry. It's a massive ask, but on the back of a positive result yesterday, we should go there with a fair degree of positivity. Do not try and be a smart ass, Martin McGee. Just set us up the way we should be. And
I mean, again, though, we go back, you say, well, was he technically a smart ass going to a back five the day?
Fucked that a bit, so, aye.
Sparrow's currently trying to play with his phone. But it's all very well saying Martin McGee being a smart ass, but at the end of the day, he was technically a smart ass on Saturday by playing this, you know, basically matching up with Thistle, and it worked. So, you know, it's one of those ones, that's what happens. If you go and, you know, if you try to do things, you try to change your system to match up, it can work, but maybe times won't work. But we'll see what happens. Again, we've already said about the fact that we've got too much into the habit this season of actually being really, really good for 90 minutes and then being terrible games after. But it's the kind of game where you need to go and just, you know, be Celtic after that. You kind of just need to go and see what happens. You need to just, you know, go.
Yeah.
Try and, you're right. I mean, there's no point in going and trying to, you know, overthink it. I would just go play a 4-4-2 or a 4-5, whatever you want to play, and just say, right, go see what happens. Try, express yourself, that kind of cliche, and go and see what happens. It's a really, kind of really difficult place to go.
Yeah.
In fact, there have been plenty of times over the years as a Motherwell fan that I've felt more confident going to the likes of places like Ibrox and Celtic Park and maybe springing a surprise than Tynecastle. I hate going to Tynecastle. I like it as an away day, but yeah, I think the actual getting a result.
It's possible the fact that we don't have any plans for next week. I'm going to see Anna and Elsa and Ice next week rather than actually going to a game.
I've got plans as well, but I can't remember what they are. I was saying this yesterday, actually.
Right, well, we'll not talk about that just
now. you don't like to talk about your Disney and Ice and
Right, well, I'm trying to move things swiftly on, and we're going to get the bleeper out again, like with your Adam Cummins rant. The personal trainer, use him, he's really good.
I would like to see us set up
Hearts and Celtic. That's two back-to-back games, very, very difficult.
Set up against Hearts and Celtic, probably, the way we set up yesterday. A back five, Richard Tate. I think he's phenomenal going forward, to be honest with you. I don't know about murder, but he's not convinced me yet. But I love the way that he sort of goes to get in the line and he's does it very easily. He cuts in and puts in a great ball with his left foot. I love that, to be honest with you. We nearly scored two or three goals.
He's got a good few assists this season.
Yeah, we nearly scored two or three goals yesterday.
Interesting, he's possibly kind of well ahead in the pecking order than Lionel Ainsworth, who you would think is a winger. would be able to deliver the ball, but
I would love to see us go.
He's much more consistent than Ainsworth.
Maybe Ainsworth's stats though. Ainsworth has good, decent stats, is he not?
Maybe not the last.
No, I'm just saying overall.
I think he's somewhat 30 goals and 30 assists in 2.5 years. Sorry.
I don't think there's any doubt that we would quite happily, as a club, get rid of Ainsworth.
No, we've been trying to get rid of him for ages. It's no secret we have.
I like Ainsworth a lot.
I like him as well because, as you say, his stats are bright. Don't be wrong, he has an occasional off day, and he's maybe not the best defensively. But again, we're straying here. But against Hearts, I'd love to see
us. Can I just make a side point as well? We should definitely drink beer while recording the podcast every week.
I think we'd have to get
a day. No.
5-3-2 against Hearts, that's how I want to see us go, basically. Yep. I think when we play a 4-3-3, it's
not Stevie Hamill left mid.
Right back. When we play a 4-3-3, it's good enough at times, but I think when we play McDonald and Moat up front together, there's a special connection there, and sometimes we have Chris Cadden
in our team, which is an absolutely massive positive as well.
Well, yesterday I thought Cadden was maybe given a...
He was unlucky with that effort as well.
Are Hearts that good?
They're not that good, but they're better than us. And they're good at home. I mean,
I would love to have Marvin Johnson, because I think that Calvin Patterson is a great player going forward again, like Richard Tate. I think he's really suspect defensively.
So tall though, and he's got goals in his game.
You said that with a sexy face.
So tall.
He scored a cracker against us at Fir Park there. He is brilliant going forward.
Was it using McFadden's goal that game?
Yeah. He's brilliant going forward, but I think he's pretty suspect defensively.
No,
I'd love to have a guy like Marvin Johnson to sit right on top of him, basically. But obviously we don't have, so I'd like to, again, come back to it, I'd like to see us go 5-3-2. I think it pains me to say it, but I think Hamill's time's done. McMullen has come in there, and I think maybe 90% of support right now would probably say he should be our left back. He would be our first choice left back, so I'd like to see that they two, Tate and McMullen, going forward for there. And as we say, Mo McDonald, Cadden, you're always going to have Lasley and Clay sort of holding or sitting, but Cadden then gets that. Yesterday I thought he'd about a free roll, obviously in front of Lasley and I nearly said McHugh, that's because we were speaking to him yesterday, but you know, I'd like to see that against Hearts anyway.
Yeah, I think that pretty much kind of wraps up for this week. We're going to go in the pub and we're going to get sloshed. I will never use the word sloshed again after that. The podcast quiz, a week on Monday, the 28th of November. Please, if you can, get along, support the cause. All donations and all contributions going to the women's football team. Back-to-back titles for the women's team. They win titles, which is quite unlike our men team, who win absolutely nothing. Jay Buster, thank you very much.
Cheers.
No bother, thank you.
Marty. No Marty, no party. Right, you've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.